How many of you know that Jesus Christ is that real? I mean, he will sit down on a sandbag next to you. He is that real. And I appreciate Jim being that honest. Here's a man. Watch this. Isn't that kind of weird? The Sunday of peace. A man who was at war talks about what? Peace. Crazy. How many of y'all glad to know there's a God that will love you in spite of you? Now, this is a crazy day today. Peace. What does it mean to have peace? How many of y'all have heard this? I hear this a lot, especially when people get ready to go die. They'll go, well, Rev, I've made peace with the Maker. And I go, well, that'll be hard to do since you're incapable of that. What are you going to bring to God to make peace? I mean, think about this for a minute. How am I going to make peace with God? Here's the problem. How many of y'all realize the reason we're restless? Would y'all agree that we're a little restless in the world? What do you think? Y'all work with me today. Are we restless people? I don't know. I look at, there's a commercial that comes on. I don't know why we have all these pill commercials, especially during football games. Messes with me. Restless leg syndrome. How many of y'all have seen that commercial? So, you know, we didn't have all these syndromes when I grew up. You just felt bad and you went on. Okay. We didn't have all these syndromes. You know what I mean? If your leg twitched, guess what we called that, Joseph? Dude had a twitching leg. I mean, this wasn't a medical crisis. But he said he got restless leg syndrome. So I'm listening to this commercial, Sheriff. And they said, if you got restless leg, you take this pill and you won't have restless leg. But then it says, your earlobes will swell, your nostrils will flare out, your hair will fall out, you'll be nauseated, constipated, you'll have all these. I said, man, I think I'd let my leg wiggle. But we're restless. And why have we become a restless world? I'm going to tell you why. When you live in falsehood, you'll never find peace. You tracking with me here? You'll never be free. So you'll never be at peace. You see, here's the problem. You got to get to the truth to live in God's freedom. Now, here's the truth. You and I can't make peace with God. That's the truth. And that upsets some of us. Some of my colleagues say, well, Pastor Ayers, I believe that the human is the center of the universe. I go, well, you can believe that all you want to, but that doesn't change the reality that God was before us. It starts with God, thank God. It stays with God, thank God. And it finishes with guess who? God. How many of y'all have noticed that you and I fade? We're here for a while. We do our human thing. Hopefully we will do this. Now, you kids, listen to me. I know y'all don't misinterpret me here. It is better to receive than give. Mm-hmm. When I was 9 years old, I never did buy anything. Be adults, be walking around. It's better to give, receive. I said, no, it ain't. Better to get presents. Now, I want to share with you something, though. It's better to receive than give. In fact, in the spiritual realm, you can't give till you receive. This is why a lot of us don't have peace. You got to receive it. You can't make it. You can't make peace. You got to what? Receive it. Everybody got that? Most kind of just do like this. Receive it. Come on, try this. Receive it. Come on, work with me now. Y'all look like you've frozen chosen this morning. All it did is rain. How many of y'all are rejoicing that it rained today? Hey, I'm excited that it rained today. We were fixing to get in a Hurt Locker. How many of y'all realize this? You got to have rain so you can have like food. And food is a very important thing. You will not be at peace if you can't eat. See what I'm saying? God takes care of things. God sends it. I want you to understand the Advent. The Advent is we didn't go get Jesus. Jesus came to us. You must understand the motion of God if you're going to understand God. God is a God that gives, and we receive what he gives, and that's what brings us peace. But Donna, we got a lot of people that are anxious because they're out there running around. I'm going to get God. I'm going to get this. I'm going to get peace. And we stay restless all the time. How many of you glad to know? This is the beauty of Christmas. God comes into you. And he comes at a restless day. Now, I don't want to destroy your all's Christmas moment, but I want to take you back to authentic Christmas. The real deal. God's got a real sense of humor, or at least he likes to show us that he is God no matter what. Okay? He comes. It starts there. God comes. He comes to us. Now think about this for just a moment. The Christmas story is filled with a lot of potential anxiety. Agree or disagree? Now this is tough. You know, if Elizabeth had come to me and she and I knew each other since we were kids, Joseph and Mary are kids, about 15, 16 years old, teenagers, some of you all of that age, and they're betrothed. That means they're not married, but they're positioned to be married. But the marriage hadn't happened yet. They, in the phase of marriage, we would call it engagement. They called it betrothed, betrothed to, betrothal. And in the midst of the betrothal, you can't be having any, y'all got my drift. Okay, if you're betrothed, there ain't no, you got it? All right? Let me get it where you can get it. If you betrothed, you can't be turning on to Marvin Gaye, okay? Can't be, let's make love tonight. Cannot be happening in betrothal. Right? So Joseph is full aware that he ain't been getting it on. And here comes Mary and tells Joseph, I just want you to know I had this encounter with God, and I have the child. The Savior is in my womb and I am pregnant. Now, I wish I could tell you that if Elizabeth had come to me and said, honey, I've been praying. I've had an encounter with God. I'm 17 years old and I'm pregnant. I ain't buying it. I want to know God's last name. That's what I'm talking about. I am coming after the dude. You know what I'm talking about? Now, hold on. This is anxious. This is real. I know I bring Joseph up every Christmas. I bring Joseph up. Some of y'all been with me a lot of Christmases. I bring Joseph up because everybody leaves Joseph out. You know what I mean? It's like, since he, you know, it's like, well, Joseph. Like, he just leads donkeys around. This dude has got some serious faith. Let your wife come home pregnant without you, and you stay with her. That's serious. I mean, he even got anxious. He got anxious. He was going to divorce her quietly, probably. He's a respectful guy. You know what I mean? He's going to just be chilled out about the situation. But guess what? God says, be at peace, Joseph. What Mary has said is true. It's as true as Jesus sitting on a cold, wet sandbag as the South China Sea hits the shore in the midst of the Vietnam War. God is that real. But we got to receive it. Does that make sense? So let me show you. The world is anxious. I'm going to go ahead and give you that. How many of y'all find anxious people around? It's Gospel Road yesterday. Everybody was what? Anxious. How many of y'all practice? This week we got to practice some of this stuff, okay? Hope. How many of y'all got a little hope this week? You know, God's still on the throne. Things are moving. The advent of hope. Now we're at peace. I want you to do some things. And if you'll do these things, try them at least once. It'll freak people out. How many of y'all have ever been to Walmart? How many of y'all have ever been to Walmart at Christmas time? Yes, you love self-punishment. Okay, so there you are. And watch Walmart at Christmas time. I'm not busting on Walmart, but they do these things to help encourage your spirituality. They got 55 checkout lines. They're going to open two of them. You're going to stand there and what? How many of y'all have ever been in a line at Walmart? Checkout line. Oh, what can happen at the checkout line at Walmart? What's very easy to occur in you? Anger. Okay, Kim's just going full blown angry over here. What else? Y'all see any restless, anxious people in the checkout line? People start tapping their feet. Ladies whip their hair. Men just sit there like this. By God, move down the line. Or men do like I do. They get mad at their wives for sending them in Walmart because they had more sense to go there in the first place, but she just had to have this today. Huh? Y'all ever had that moment? Now, I've never had that moment. I've just heard of other people that have had that moment. That's what I'm telling you. All right, so you're anxious. This is one of the things I've done a few times. I mean, I don't do it all the time, so don't try to stand behind me, but sometimes I want y'all to do this. Let somebody go in front of you. Have y'all ever done, anybody ever done that? Oh, wow. Y'all, what happened? Come on, y'all talk to me. They were surprised. Surprised, okay. Huh? Thankful? See, you all attract good people around you. I just naturally attract weird people. I don't know what it is with me, but I have these encounters. I let this guy I said, hey, man, you look like you're in a real hurry. Hey, man, go in front of me. 2 minutes later, he turned around. He said, what do you want? I said, nothing. 2 minutes later, he turns back around. He goes, hey, you that dude that pastors at church, aren't you? I said, it depends. What else are you fixing to say? Because they always got out. They say, do you pastor Hillview? I said, yeah, I'm Jamie Ward. Dr. Jamie Ward is my name. And he said it. That's the dude that said it. Now, then he turned back. He said, you going to ask me to come to church? I said, no, I don't want you to come to church. That freaked him out. He goes, why don't you ask people to come to church? I said, man, I'll talk to you about Jesus. But I said, that's where we got to start. And freaked out that somebody, he said, you let me go in front of you. I said, man, hey, you're in a hurry. In a hurry. Watch this. One of the greatest gifts we could bring to the world is actually be at peace. So I'm going to ask you about three things today. First of all, why are you in such a big hurry if you live forever? I thought believers live forever. Now, if you're not a believer, you better be getting in a hurry because you're going to die and go to hell. I'd get all I could get right now. I mean, I'd be anxious, take your pills, everything, because guess what? You got about 70 years, boom, you're out of here, dead hell. I would be depressed if that's my life story. When people come to me and they go, well, pastor, I'm depressed. I said, well, do you believe in Jesus Christ? They said, no. I said, well, you're going to hell. No wonder you're depressed. And then all my liberal friends, they get madder than heck at me. They're like, well, my God, you can't say that. You're being judgmental. I said, I'm being factual. I said, what are all you libs going to do when you get to there and you find out God was unimpressed with your intellect, your opinion, and your survey? What are you going to do? Are you going to tell God, well, I'm sorry, I didn't believe you were real. You ought to let me in anyway. God is in charge. And if you want the truth, you got to get to the truth, okay? First thing, why are you in a hurry if you're going to live forever? Number two, why are you running around guilty and downtrodden if all your sin has been forgiven? And because all your sin has been forgiven, why aren't we filled with the power of rejoice? How many of y'all are glad to be saved? Is anybody in here glad to be saved? I want you to know, every day I live, I'm glad to be saved. I don't know about y'all, but I'm a sinner. You take Jesus out of my life, I ain't letting nobody in the front of the line. You take Jesus out of my life, I am hitting somebody in the line. You take Jesus out of my life, and the sheriff and I'd be personal friends. And it wouldn't be because I would be his pastor. I would be one of his best customers. You take Jesus out of my life, and I don't have this life. How many of y'all can make that same statement? It's got to get real sometime. So I want to give you some heads up. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. We always read 1 Corinthians, but we never read 2 Corinthians. And this is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. If you've been to a wedding, you've heard 1 Corinthians 13, you know, love is patient and kind and wonderful. And the bride stands there and goes, da 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 da. And the groom stands there going, ha ha ha. And then they get off their honeymoon and find out 1 Corinthians 13 is tough. Life is tough. It is real. But so is Jesus. Finally, here's what he says. He gets to the church at Corinth. I got to tell you just a little bit about the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth, highly metropolitan area. I mean, it's got the groove. They got the big screens up, not literally, but it would have been a big screen town. You know what I mean? A lot like New York. A lot of people in and out of there. Great sports teams. Did you know at the church at Corinth, Coach Ryder, they got coaches in and out up there all the time at the Olympic thing. It's always moving. They got all kinds of gods at the Church of Corinth. Does this sound familiar? Highly political place. Does this place sound familiar? They throw parties left and right everywhere. It's all about just being in the groove, about being impressive, the Church of Corinth. And you know what God does? He comes in the midst of that culture and says, you know what? I'm going to bring peace. How many of y'all glad to know that God is not scared of what we create? Have you ever thought about Christmas, the first Christmas? Oh, yeah, how hunky-dory. Think about this. We got a pregnant woman riding on a donkey. And there's little Hallmark cards that got the donkey going like this. Clip, clop, clip. Y'all ever seen a donkey cooperate? I mean, y'all ever seen a cute donkey? How many of y'all have ever seen a cute donkey? About three of you. I ain't never seen no cute donkey. They're really not cute. I doing a funeral one time. And we did the burial, and there was a field of donkeys next to where we were burying this person. Well, we get done with the funeral, and the guy that was doing the gravesite, he looked at me and he said, "Hey, Rev, you need to hang around. I need you to help me move this to where we're going to bury him." I said, "I thought this is where we was going to bury him." They said, "No. Man, we was digging the grave, and you see them donkeys over there? I mean, we're in the middle of the funeral, and I mean, they're just braying up and down, kicking each other. Remind me of a Baptist church convention." And we over there, man, it's going crazy. And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, why didn't we have it where?" He said, "Well, let me tell you what." He said, "We were digging this grave. I backed up, and one of them donkeys bit me in the head." And they said, "So we could just see you standing right where you'd had to stand, some donkey biting you in the back of the head, and they hearing words come out of a preacher's mouth they never expected come out of a preacher's mouth." I said, "Boys, y'all saved me. Thanks for knowing me well." But I've never seen I mean, how many of y'all just said, "Man, I tell you what, I'd like to take a donkey ride today." Ain't nobody. Donkey. Beast of burden. Isn't it interesting how Jesus ties his stories together? He comes in on a donkey and he goes out on a donkey. But I'll tell you what, y'all better listen up. The Lord Jesus Christ has had his last donkey ride. He comes back on a horse. You know why? He's riding in the midst of our chaos. When he comes back on that horse, it's finished. And he wants you to go with him. Pretty cool, isn't it? I know we don't like that God would actually make a commitment, but God makes a commitment in blood, folks. God makes a commitment in a resurrection. God's commitments are permanent. So this ought to be us. Look what he says. "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice." How many of y'all need to get a little rejoice on? Rejoice. You say, "Well, Pastor, my life stinks." Not as bad as you think it does. Part of your life stinks because you're always talking about your life what? How many of y'all got something to rejoice about? Here, let me give you one thing right now. How many of you all are here? That's good. Do y'all realize that some people didn't wake up this morning? That's real, man. Some people didn't wake up this morning. They did not get up. This was their day to go on. Now, I pray they went to heaven. But it's real, isn't it? How many of y'all always got something to rejoice over? I mean, y'all glad your kids still kind of like you? How many of you college students, man, y'all are rejoicing that it's finals week this week? You should be. That means this semester's about over. It means, and I don't know why people get surprised on finals. I don't know why everybody gets shocked. In August, they tell you in December there's going to be finals. But I guarantee you that God will hear many prayers that I lifted up in my academic experience. I said this prayer to God more than once in December. "Lord, have mercy on me. I have not studied all semester long. But I believe you to be a God of miracles. And if you could just work a miracle on this final so that I could have a C so that my Father who is here on earth will not kill me. Lord, this is life and death. This ain't about a test." And I'd always hear the Holy Spirit say this, "You will make a good grade in this class." "Really, Lord?" "Next semester, as you take it again." The Lord allowed me to take some classes twice because he really wanted me to understand them. I found a second time when you read the book, it was easier to take the class than when you hadn't read the book. So if y'all, let me just tell you, I'll give you some heads up in academic. Go to class and read the books. This will improve your grades more than anything. It was the two things I changed that led to graduation. But I get anxious. Students, let me tell you what. You want me to tell you how you rejoice this week? Quit being anxious about your finals. Study and go take your test. That's a greater testimony. Listen, you raise your family, man, guess what? Listen, nobody wants to hear how stressful your kids are. Everybody that's got one's got one. They're all the same thing. We are all somebody's pain till we leave the house. Have you noticed that? We're just kids. And God stays with us. How many of y'all can rejoice that God won't leave? How many of y'all rejoice that God comes when things are difficult? That's the difference between God and us. Most of us, when things get difficult, what do, Andy? I mean, you've had a testimony all your life. Things got difficult, and what did you say? Rejoice. Y'all know Andy and Trish and my brother Nathan. They went on when the world said you ought to stop, didn't they? When the world said you ought to, well, I don't know if I'd do that. He said, well, you know what? Jesus would. Been a lot of peace in that, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Nathan holds a master's degree, and he's going to go get his doctorate eventually. I've prophesied to him for the past 2 years. Yeah. He went on. I rejoice that difficulty does not have to stop us. Somebody needed to hear that today. Difficulty does not what? Have to stop us. It was a difficult day, man, I'm telling you. Jesus gets born on tax day. I mean, come on, God, couldn't you choose a better day than that? Caesar had gone over the fiscal cliff. He's needing some more tax money. He needs some more tax money. So he sends out a decree. He says, everybody go back to your hometown. Now, what kind of mood do you think Joseph was in as he's walking a donkey to his hometown with his pregnant, 9 months pregnant wife on the back? Happy holidays. Y'all think he was in a good mood? Not only that, he got a 9 month pregnant wife on the back of a donkey heading into his hometown to pay his taxes. How many of y'all are happy on tax day? I'm not happy on tax day. April the 15th, I tell people, I say, do not send anybody in my office to ask me for anything today. They say, why, Pastor? I said, I'm going to hurt somebody. Because I just helped a whole lot of folk today. See, I know people think taxes come from some magical place. It comes from people that work hard. You know, probably if they didn't set amount, I would give more than I give them. But anytime I feel like I'm forced to do something, I don't like it just when I get forced. I've just always been that way. It's a flaw I have that disrupts my peace. If you make me do it, I don't want to do it. Elizabeth figured that out a long time ago. I think now every decision's mine. I know really they're not. But Elizabeth makes me feel that way, so I go do them. She suckered me yesterday. Would you like to go down to the basement and bring up that other bed? I said, you know, I think I would like to. Now, if she had said, I'm giving you women, this is a Christmas gift to you women. If she'd said, I want you to go get that bed right now, even if I thought that was a good idea, guess what, Adam? I'd have sat right there and kept watching that Army-Navy game. But I interrupted the game for one reason. God has delivered. You got Paul's now on that thing. It's a great world we live in, amen? How many of y'all rejoice that you can pause the game now when your wife interrupts you? I do it every Monday night on football because that song they have on Monday night football, you know, dun 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 dun, that signals Elizabeth to come have a discussion with me. She's ate dinner with me for 30 minutes. She could have told me everything she needed to tell me right then, but she sat in silence, just amazed at my presence. Then I go sit in my chair where I'm finally anchored in for a great Monday night. Ba-da-da-dum! Here she comes. And where, you husbands know this, where do all wives stand? Absolutely. You can't get a screen big enough. Because they'll be going, hey, hold on! It's not a bad thing, honey. Because guess what? Y'all ain't letting me finish. You are not letting me finish. Y'all think I'm in a hole. I ain't in a hole. You think I'm in a hole. Big screen. What do they do? You try to look this way, they move that way. You try to look over here, and they'll talk to you like this. Now I figured it out. I hit the Monday night song, ba-da-da-dum, pause. And she comes to talk to me. Y'all know these things. And if you're young, married just now, you've learned some things today. And this is free. We don't even charge for this extra information. Peace in the midst of life. Here comes Jesus on tax day into our world. Gets there and it's overcrowded. Can't even find a place to stay. And it ends up rejoicing at the birth of God. How many of y'all need a little bit of that information? When it looks like you're out, God is still in. And that's why he calls us to these things. You ready? Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Verse 11, chapter 13. Full what? Restoration. How many of y'all are at peace? God's not done with you yet. Would you just tell your neighbor that? God's not done with you yet, Spears. What do you think about that? Huh? You lost your hair, but you still in, brother? You coming on, amen? It doesn't matter. How many of y'all glad God's not done with you yet? Now, some people get real disturbed at me at this right here. That means this. You're a child of God. You all saw Kaylee, man. She confessed her faith in baptism, buried and risen. God's not done with her. Full restoration. Hillview, I just want you to know that's the attitude of this church. Some people like us. A lot of people hate us. But guess what? We're not changing because this is God's attitude. All people can be saved and all people can be fully restored. I believe that. Isn't that a wonderful message? And that means this. You don't have to stay where you are. You say, well, man, my marriage is messed up. Yeah, but it don't have to stay messed up. Pastor, I hear this one all the time. And I get on some of you brothers that do this, some of you sisters that do this. Well, Pastor Dave, you don't understand. I'm an addict. You're telling me I don't understand? Let me tell you what you don't understand. You're a child of God. So we don't have addicts at Hillview. We have children of God that struggle with addictions. We have children of God that have struggles. And so now that I approach that as a child of God, I come in confident that there can be full restoration. We even tell on ourselves, the best we can do is recovery. Kind of crazy, isn't it, Amber? That's the best we can do. But none of us can do full restoration. You know what? To fully restore a human. You know what you got to do? You know what you got to do, Dr. Earl, to fully restore a human? You got to make them. And there's only one guy that's made them. His name is the Almighty what? God. How many of y'all glad to know that our attitude ought to be full restoration? It's not people out. It's people coming to Christ being fully remade. How many of y'all believe that can happen? How many of y'all believe you can get better in spite of yourself? Well, you'll get out of that when you get out of this. Well, I got to make peace with God. Why don't you get to the truth? You can't make peace with God. I'm going to let God bring peace into me. The world can't save itself. I plead with you in the name of Jesus. The more you try to make peace, the more crazy you're going to find. How many of y'all found that to be a truth? The more you try to make it right, the more it gets jumbled up. Let me tell you what it's like. I remember one Christmas. It's back in the 70s now. I'm a kid back in the 70s. How many of y'all know what a slinky is? A slinky, it's a magical, wonderful toy. Y'all remember those? You can find these now in the restoration stores. Man, I wanted a slinky, Kurt, and I've been watching that commercial, man. Slinky's walking down steps all the time. I set my slinky down the steps. I had a dysfunctional slinky. Sucker got all tangled. Have y'all ever tried to untangle a slinky? That will not bring you peace. You know what? And that's what it's like in our lives, man. When we try to create our own peace, it's like untangling a slinky. So watch this. I'm talking about this today. You got to receive it before you can give it, Beth. Is that cool? So really, until you receive it, you can't give it. So the first response is receive. I'm going to receive this from God. You ready? I'm going to let God restore me, forgive me of all my sins. And then guess what we can do? Encourage one another. Look what it says there in the scriptures. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Hillview, we have one mind here. Have I been clear? I would like to see all of you in the salvation of Jesus Christ. Am I clear about that as your pastor? Does anybody have misunderstanding about that? That's my mission, is that you would let Jesus in your life. Your pastor Ayers, do you care about this and that? Probably not. I care very little about what most church people care about. Because you know what? In my opinion, which is very accurate, that stuff doesn't get you saved. I don't care what color the carpet is. I don't even know if we got carpet. We don't even have any carpet anymore. Those issues aren't the issues. It's not buildings and parking lots and size. It's this. Don't you know there's an almighty God that will sit beside you on a cold sandbag and say, I am with you. Full restoration. Be of one mind. I hope you would receive Jesus. Amen. So, Pastor Steve, there's a lot of people at Hillview that are messed up. Yeah. There's a lot of people at Rich Pond Baptist messed up. A lot of people at the Catholic Church messed up. There's a lot of people at the Methodist Church messed up. You know what I found? Everywhere I go, Coach Riley, did you ever have any messed up fans? I even saw you get messed up a couple times. Hey, but I ain't being critical, because I've been messed up a couple times on the sideline too. I've been on the sideline before, and you wouldn't have guessed I followed Jesus. Because I wasn't at that moment. Peace in you. Does that make sense? Guys, if we would treat each other as Jesus had made us, we would find a new life. Greatest gift we could give this community, this city, this cool place called Warren County is this. Be the church he's called us to do. And that would include these things. Rejoice. Pray and encourage each other into full restoration. Be of one mind and live in what? Peace. I ask you three questions. What are you in a hurry about? You're going to live forever if you've received Jesus. Chill. I see a lot of expecting mothers here. Hillview, we're the church. I mean, we got babies, man. It's a merry kind of place around here. I saw some more walking them down the hall. Here they come. You know when you're going to have that baby? When it's born. How many of you ladies who've ever had... Elizabeth, could you rush our children getting here? They came when? When they came. They came in God's time. You know what's so cool? You will come in God's time. You will become what you're supposed to become in what? Be at peace where you are. Where you are. And that leads to the next spot. Be in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. We'll stop there today. That's enough to change the world. The God of peace will be with who? Come on, who? Us. You. So remember that on these three things. When you get in a real hurry, ask yourself, why am I in such a hurry if I got forever? These have changed my life. Personally, they've changed my life because I used to be a hurried person. In fact, one of the things I told my son, I said, son, please live in your 20s. He said, what do you mean, Dad? I said, I don't remember my 20s. I don't even remember them. I graduated and then Elizabeth and I just flew through life. I looked at Elizabeth, I said, why were we in a hurry? She said, honey, you were never at peace. I said, you're right. That's a bad witness. God lives forever. Now, this does not be lazy. I'm not talking about being lazy. I'm talking about what? Be at peace, being steady. Make sense? Why are you full of guilt and shame? I thought the Lord forgiven us of all of our sin. How many of y'all believe that? That's a beautiful package to open. You say, well, Pastor, you don't understand what I've done. Well, I agree. But guess what? Do you understand what God has done? There's a counter to that question. Do you really understand what God has done? He's forgiven us of all of our sin. Be clean. Go and participate in it no more. Be what? Clean. God is with us. Be at peace. Make sense? I mean, I'm glad to know nothing surprises God. There's a lot of peace in that. Nothing surprises God. And so I just wanted to give you a heads up. Is the world difficult? What do you think? What's the truth? Yeah. Are there stressful moments in living life? Absolutely. Is life itself stressing? Yeah. Well, let me ask you a question. Does God ever leave us? No. Then be at peace. Merry Christmas. You ready? Now, y'all got to be cool. You at the minute mark in the morning. What could you do? You could bless somebody. Let them what? I mean, they go in there, they're serious, man. They get one of them mocha choppa, 3 chocolate, 4 espressos, man. They're going to fire up for the morning. The line's long. They're already late from work. Hey, why don't you go ahead of me? But would y'all do something? I mean, don't get hokey with them. Just say this. Listen, just say this. Hey, may peace be with you. But say it cool. Now, don't say it cheesy. You know what I mean? Don't get all that religious stuff behind it. Don't go, you know, and may the Lord of peace. Hey, peace be with you, all right? We need to bring that back a little bit to the world. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. That's been around the church for a long time. If you grew up in a Lutheran church, or you grew up in a Catholic church, you grew up in a United Methodist church, you grew up where the litany was a little louder. I grew up with a lot of litany, and now it's starting to make sense. You know, peace be with you. Here's the good news. Harvey, guess what I get to say? He is. His name is Jesus. Raj, ain't nobody can run him off. Nobody can turn him off. And nobody can keep him from sitting on cold, wet sandbags in the midst of a war. Jim, I bet he sat down beside you a couple times along that adventure. And even in the darkness of night, he said, Jim, hold on. I got sons and daughters and family to show you. You just can't see them yet. Hold my hand. Amen? Hold my hand. God's that real. Well, I told you today, you got to receive it. I know some of y'all really impressing yourselves. Well, I've made peace with God.
Come on.
Question is, has he made peace with you? Yes. 2,000 years ago, he made peace with us. He stretched out his arms. He died on the cross. And he said, Father, forgive them. That includes us. For they know not what. What they do. The longer I hear that, the longer I meditate on it, the longer I study on it, the longer I observe us human beings, we humans. Boy, Jesus spoke a mouthful, didn't he? We know not what we do. But let me bring you some peace. God knows what he does. And he brings peace. And so I just want you to know, I don't know if we're going off the physical cliff or not. If we do, guess what? I bet we'll find a way to eat. What do you think? I mean, we live in Bowling Green, Kentucky. No matter what, we'll find a way to eat. If it gets real bad, guess what we'll do? We'll can stuff again. We used to do that. You can it. Put that wax stuff around it. Break out spring in the winter. It might have to work a little bit. That might scare some folks, but it also might heal a lot of folks. Be good for some people to get dirty. Yeah. We'll make it. So quit worrying about what they say. I can tell you this. I trust one source for my peace. He died, and it looked bad. Looked like he's down. They started counting, said he's not coming back. And on Sunday morning, he popped out. And the stone was rolled away, and the light shone bright. And it's not a story made up, and it's not written by Disney. It was written by the hand of God, because you and I can't stop God's peace. But I tell you what we can do. We can receive it. Some of you today need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my what? Sin. And you need to quit telling God what you've done and start telling him you want to be forgiven of what you've done. I don't know why that's so pleasing to us. You know, well, I've done this. Well, okay, you were stupid. How many of y'all have done some stupid things? Other than the pastor here, have y'all done any stupid things? I've done some stupid things. Isn't that right, Elizabeth? Yeah, you didn't see her saying no, honey. I've made some very bad decisions in my life at different times. And guess what I found? God heals us and he puts us back together and he restores us fully. I've seen him do it to thousands of people. May you be one of them today. Amen. Let's stand together. You ready? We're done, man. Y'all did great today. Y'all listen quick today. Here we go. Now, come to the altar quick today. This is an altar call. If you've never seen an altar call, guess what? This is an opportunity for you to decide, do you believe what you heard today? People ask me all the time, say, how many people make decisions at your church? I said, thousands every Sunday. Some decide to leave early. Some decide to think about pizza and not Jesus. Some decide that what I said, a bunch of bunk. Some decide they're not coming back because, you know, so-and-so said such and such, or they saw somebody they didn't like. Let me tell you what, I said a few of them listen to Jesus. And they do this. They say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. That's for real. You won't be at peace till you're forgiven. You will not be at peace till you're forgiven. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Some of you need to come. Guess what? You're restless. You know why? You haven't been baptized. You haven't been obedient to God. You hadn't done what he asked you to do. He said, after you receive me, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I don't know what is sophisticated about that. That's pretty clear. And I'm tired of everybody getting all this religious stuff all tore up. Listen, God's very clear at what he wants. He says stuff like this. It's really complicated. Follow me. Well, it's complicated, isn't it? But we want to get a bunch of folks saying, well, what that really means, it means follow him. It really means this. Whether you like it or not, follow him. Peace be with you. Some of you need to be baptized. Some of you need to come today and say, Lord, I worry all the time. How many of y'all worry all the time? You know what the Bible says about worry? It will not add one day to your life. It does say it'll take a few away. Trust. Be at peace. Well, let's pray. Lord, this altar is open. These people are beautiful, and you're still working. Lord, as you draw people to receive you today, we just want to give thanks that you are a real God, that you're on the scene, that you love us. And Lord, I pray that as people receive grace today, overwhelming peace will be before them. Lord, those coming for baptism today, may you secure them with your peace. Those that need to come and just pray and give you thanks, Lord, that just need to give you thanks, may they be touched by you. Lord, we're excited about everybody being here today. We believe that everybody here today, Lord, was brought for a divine purpose, to hear something that you have for them to hear. And so, Lord, may you speak into their life in a real way, as you've spoken to all of our lives in a real way. May we all receive your peace today. Amen? All right, guess what? If you've received Christ, we just want to hear about it, man, so we can connect with you. If you know you need to be baptized, well, then we need to talk to you about that so we can line that up. Christmas Eve, we're going to be baptizing a ton of folks. It's already started. It's going to be a blast. Man, what a way to bring testimony to Christ. And so we just ask now that you come and pray and you just come to this altar. Okay, it's open. Y'all move this way. Don't stare at me. That won't get you nothing. All right, come and let's pray. Let's talk. Let's love the Lord. Let's love the Lord. Hey, Joseph, how you doing, brother?